In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. How do you stand? In today's gospel, the Lord tells a parable about the kind of standing, the disposition that affords access to the grace that saves us. We don't even have to guess, really, about what he means. Right out of the gate, this passage opens with Jesus saying, well, not Jesus, but the narrator, St. Luke, saying, Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So Jesus warns us off of several dangerous, soulish dispositions. And the first one is trusting in yourself that you're righteous. Our term for this is self-righteousness, and it's something that we tend easily to recognize, at least in other people. When we see it, it's gross, but it can also be easy to excuse in ourselves what we condemn in others. My old buddy, the 20th century philosopher of language, Ludwig Wittgenstein, was rather gifted with a kind of lucidity about these matters. And he once wrote in his diary, God may say to me, I am judging you out of your own mouth. Your own actions have made you shudder with disgust when you have seen other people do them. Quite. If you're anything like me, you probably think to yourself that while you may not be perfect, you're doing okay spiritually, and people who do okay go to heaven. But Jesus is warning us in this gospel lesson today that that's a dangerous idea and a false one. In 1589, an Italian priest named Lorenzo Scupoli published a book called The Spiritual Combat that has remained very popular ever since. It's widely available in English, probably free on the internet. In that book, Scupoli lays out four principles for Christians to live by if they want to be victorious over sin and death. And the first of the four principles is distrust of self. He wrote, distrust of self is so absolutely requisite in the spiritual combat that without this virtue, we cannot expect to defeat our weakest passions, much less gain a complete victory. This important truth should be deeply embedded in our hearts, for although in ourselves we're nothing, we are too apt to overestimate our own abilities and to conclude falsely that we are of some importance. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Even though the Pharisees get a bad rap in the Gospels, and we tend to think of the Pharisees as hypocrites and so forth, nevertheless, in Jesus' own time, in the first century, Pharisees were very well regarded by the people. And publicans, which are tax collectors, it's an old English word for tax collector, were very much not highly regarded by the people. And this contrast between the regard that people held Pharisees in and the disregard in which they held publicans is a key to understanding what Jesus is saying today. The Pharisee in this parable, the well-regarded one, went well beyond the requirements of the Mosaic law in his devotions. For example, the law only required that a pious Jew fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. But this parable says that this Pharisee fasted twice in the week. Publicans, or tax collectors, by contrast, in Jesus' day, were among the most despised people in the first century Jewish society. They, first of all, collaborated with the Roman oppressors, which in itself was bad enough, but they collaborated with the Romans, which is something that is even worse, in the very act of oppressing their own people by collecting Roman taxes from Jews. And the tax burden on ordinary Jews in the first century was quite onerous. Many tax collectors made a good living doing this. They were able to keep a percentage of what they collected. And while many of their fellow Jews struggled to make ends meet doing honest work, as a class, publicans were notorious for their dishonesty. In the earliest work of rabbinic literature, called the Mishnah, publicans were ranked with adulterers and murderers on the moral scale. They were people to whom, according to the rabbis, a pious Jew did not even have an obligation to tell the truth. Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. The publican is lauded by Jesus in this parable because of his distrust of self, his honest estimation about his own standing, spiritually speaking. Throughout the course of the Hebrew Bible, God had been dropping hints, some not so subtle, that while he certainly cared about how his people behaved, their status vis-a-vis the kingdom was a function of the status of their hearts. For example, when God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be king over Israel, Samuel's instinct was to anoint Eliab because he was the best looking of Jesse's sons, the highest, the handsomest, and so forth. But God said to Samuel, "Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance," and this is the key, "but the Lord looketh on the heart." The Lord looketh on the heart. Distrust of self is a matter of the heart. So the reason for the publican's justification in God's eyes in this parable begins to make itself manifest. The Lord looketh on the heart. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's notable that we're told very little about the Pharisee's posture in this parable, while we're told a great deal about what he said, whereas it's the reverse with the publican. We're told a good deal about how he stood and very little about what he said. He just asks for mercy. The great biblical commentator of the 11th century, Theophylact, I'm sure you're all familiar with the writings of Theophylact, Theophylact of Ohrid said that we can learn something from the posture of the publican, and maybe the most basic thing that we can learn from him is that our posture, from a spiritual point of view, is important. The publican, it says, stood afar off and would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but rather smote upon his breast. Theophylact says that the publican would not look up to heaven because he recognized that those who love to gaze upon and wonder after earthly things make themselves unworthy of the heavenly vision. Those who gaze upon and wonder after earthly things make themselves unworthy of the heavenly vision. And he said that the publican smote his breast because evil thoughts come from the heart, right, residing within the breast. And to show also that our hearts have to be aroused from their slumber. What is your spiritual posture? In our communion liturgy, we're invited to lift up our eyes and behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sins of the world. And we respond with an expression of the publican's disposition of heart. We say, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof." For centuries, Christians have even smitten their breasts like the publican as they make this response before they make their communion. And then we go on in that response, "But speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed." Distrust of self was only Father Scupoli's first principle in the spiritual combat. The second one is total confidence in God. Distrust yourself, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof." And place your total confidence in God, "But speak the word only, and my soul shall be healed." Whoever you are, publican, Pharisee, something in between, maybe sometimes one, sometimes the other, maybe something else altogether, but whoever you are, God has the power to heal your heart, to raise you up, to make you worthy of the heavenly vision and of living in his kingdom. Distrusting yourself only means stepping back and disposing yourself to let him do it, which is another way of saying asking for mercy. A final thought. This stepping back, what in the parable is described as standing afar off with the eyes cast down, means abnegation. It means self-denial. Why deny yourself? Because yourself is not trustworthy. It means being quiet and being still. I want to leave you with the words of another Eastern saint, Saint Peter of Damascus, who was a contemporary of Saint Theophylact, by the way. Peter of Damascus said this about stillness. If we are to attain the humility and the spiritual knowledge that is necessary for the understanding of the mysteries hidden in the divine scriptures and in all of creation, he says, first we need devotion and stillness. Being still, being quiet, is the highest gift of all. And without it, we cannot be purified and come to know our weakness and the trickery of the demons. Neither will we be able to understand the power of God and his providence from the divine words that we read and that we sing. This is the proper Christian disposition. Don't trust yourself. Be quiet. Be still. Ask for mercy. Wait for the Lord. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.